Our news has been dominated of late by the cruel murder of a newlywed while on her honeymoon. What made it all the worse is that she was from her own province, and the motive seems to have been a small amount of money. While the accused were intent on taking, when they were surprised by her presence coming into the room. How it reminds us that one sin often leads on to another. Just like it was with David and his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, and was to, further than that, have her husband killed in battle when all else had failed. And it was God's servant Nathan who came to him and was to reveal his sin unto him when he said, "Thou art the man." And when we come back to the first family, then the same truth is also brought out in it. Although cast out of the garden because he took of that forbidden fruit, yet God was merciful unto Adam and unto Eve, in that their home was blessed with offspring. It was a home which knew the difference between right and wrong. It was a home where the father and mother would have instructed the children in the right manner in which to approach onto a holy God. It was only through sacrifice and through the shed blood. And I am convinced that it was a home where that Sabbath day was set aside for such worship and for their offering to be brought unto God. Because we read this evening in Genesis 4, in the process of time, Cain was to bring his offering. And the marginal reading of those few words reads, "at the end of days." In other words, upon the creation Sabbath, at the end of the week, it was customary that worship was rendered unto God and the offerings were brought. But Cain, he was to bring an offering that wasn't accepted, while his brother Abel's was accepted, and that was to lead to further sin. It's little wonder then that outside of the Old Testament, there are only three occasions in which the name of Cain is mentioned. Once in Hebrews, for he was a man who was faithless, in contrast to his brother whose faith was in the Lord. Once in the book of Jude, he is mentioned there as an example of the way not to follow. And in these verses in 1 John 3, he is not an example of how we are to love one another. It is the royal law that John is found speaking of here. The royal law, you'll know, is a term that James uses. In verse 11, he reminds the people, "I'm not bringing you anything new. This message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That's the royal law." In verse 12, we see there how a believer should not love. And in verse 13, we learn how the believer will be hated. I want you to see, first of all, something of his description in verse 12. Look at the opening words in this text. And it gives an interesting description about Cain. Cain, who was of that wicked one. And here are words which tell us of the one who owned Cain. He was owned of the wicked one. And there's only one whom that can describe, and that is the devil himself. Here is one whom the Holy Ghost informs us was on the side of the devil. He was a child of the devil. And how tragic that is when we think of the family of which he was born into, of Adam and Eve, who knew that sweet communion with God in the very Garden of Eden. And yet when they disobeyed God, there was the presence of sin. And it was their sin that drove them out of the garden. And yet God was to provide a covering for them. They were covered by the skins of the animal. That animal was slain, its blood was shed. But although they were to know pardon through the shed blood, yet their firstborn, we were told, was owned of the devil. He was one of the wicked one. Alas, parents might be saved, but it doesn't always follow that their offspring will follow in like ways. It doesn't always follow that the children will know the Lord as their Savior. Indeed, like the psalmist, we are reminded that we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity from our first parents. And here was a young man who appeared to display a satanic influence. Cain must have been inspired of the devil, for surely he could not have done what he did otherwise. He was to show forth the characteristics of the old serpent. For as the way of the serpent is to slay and to kill, so Cain was to go down that road. Here was a young man who was an imitator of his father, the devil. We remind ourselves of what God's word says about the devil. You'll find it in John chapter 8 in the words of verse 44, the words of the Savior. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He was a murderer from the beginning of time. He was the one who tempted Eve. He was to kill off that communion and that fellowship that our first parents had with God. And because they yielded to his temptings, they were to know death. Oh, Genesis chapter 5, we read over and over again just three words, and he died. And you read that after the life of Adam, he died too. Death and ruin was to follow. This was quickly followed up by the way in which he led Cain. The devil sought to frustrate the plan of God in the giving of Christ. For in Genesis 3 and 15, we are reminded of the proto-evangel. We are reminded of the Son of the Woman would come and bruise the serpent's head. That announcement was made to Adam and Eve. That announcement was made before the very serpent. And the devil thought that Christ would come through the seed of Abel. And so he caused Cain to rise up against him. And ever since the beginning of time, right to the end of time, the devil is against Christ. He is out to frustrate the great and wonderful plan of God. We can say that in every murder since the devil has had his way, there is in the wicked heart of man the ability to rise up and to kill a fellow human being. And the old devil's desire has not changed in the spiritual realm, for he is out to kill off any desire, any interest that the sinner might have in seeking the Lord. He strives to murder and kill any opportunity the sinner might have of getting to Christ. And so there will be the blockades, and so there will be the hindrances in the way. And there will be the doubts and the question marks, and there will be the procrastinations placed in the mind to put off the day of God's salvation until another time. The devil is about the very same tactic to this very night. And in my unsaved days, I can remember the times we're sitting under the Word of God. There was conviction of sin, and there was the need to get to the Savior. But alas, there was the blockage. Alas, the old devil was there. We are told also that he's a liar and the father of them. There's no truth in the devil. For oft times the devil will come and entice the sinner with having a good time, but he's a liar. He will come and say to the heart of the young person that they have plenty of time to get saved, but he's a liar. Cain was of the devil, and when it came to making an offering unto the Lord, he sought to approach God through a different way. His brother was to take the firstling of his flock, those first lambs. He was to offer a choice one of them to God, and that meant the shedding of blood. But Cain sought to go a different way. Why? Because the devil was his master. And the devil hates the blood of the Lamb. And to this day, the devil hates the precious blood of God's Lamb. For he is well aware there's power in the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Can the waters of baptism know? Can church attendance know? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The devil knows that. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. He knows that, and that's why he's against the blood. For he doesn't want the sinner to know pardon and forgiveness of sins. He doesn't want them to be cleansed. For he knows that if the blood of Christ is savingly applied to that sinful heart, then that soul will cease being a child of his, and you will know God's salvation. Let me ask you tonight, who is your master? Did you be described as Cain is in this verse? Thank God for everyone who is saved. You know in salvation what happened? You and I were translated from being in the devil's kingdom. You and I were translated from being owned by the devil to be brought under new management. And we now are the children of the King. You have it summed up in Colossians 1 in the words of verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But if you never sought the Lord as your Savior and the pardon and the cleansing of his precious blood, then my dear friend, I must declare tonight that you're still a child of the devil. It was the Lord who said those words in Matthew 12 and 30, He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. The shepherd, he gathers his sheep in. The wolf, he scatters the flock. Which is it for you? Who do you belong to tonight? The shepherd or the wolf? There's no in between. But secondly, not having seen something of his description, let me show you his deed. For following his description, we are then told what his deed was. Cain was one of that wicked one and slew his brother. And if you turn back to the relevant chapter in Genesis 4 that we have read earlier on, we see the full force of that sin. We're brought to understand something of the sacrifice and the offering to God and how it wasn't as good as his brother Abel's was. This was something which was to kindle the wrath and the anger of Cain. He was angry at God. He was angry at his brother because his offering was pleasing in the sight of God. You look at the words of verse 4 and 5. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain. And to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. I want you to notice his subtlety in the words of verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. He gave the impression that all was well between them. And they were to take a walk out into the field together. Now we know, having read verse 5, that Cain was wroth. That Cain was very wroth. He was angry. And he was angry with his brother. We know it was his intention to get back at Abel and to mete out his revenge. But yet he subtly talks to him. Look at Cain and you surely see one who's acting in a hypocritical manner. I'm reminded as I read of that of Joab. And Joab we read of how he was to take Abner aside in the gate of Hebron. And he spoke to him just like a friend. Oh Abner, come here to tell you something. And he took him aside in the very gate of the city of refuge. And in that very spot, he was to take his sword and thrust it under his third rib that he tied. And the lament of the king was, died Abner as a fool dieth, within a yard of safety, within a yard of the city of refuge. yet deceived by the subtlety of the enemy. And Cain is acting here in a hypocritical manner. The hypocrites were great pretenders when it came to religious worship. They would stand in the open marketplace or in the street corners and do their alms and do their praying, only to be seen of men. And three times over in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord instructs His disciples and the people who are there to hear Him preach. And He warns them not to be like the hypocrites. Not to do what they did in their almsgiving, in their praying, and in their fasting. They even give the impression that they were fasting by disfiguring their faces just to be seen of men. A preacher whose ministry I often would have sat under when I was young often said, and was heard to say in his course of his messages, that his prayer was he would never be a hypocrite. Hypocrite simply means a play actor. That he would never pretend to be something that he was not. And maybe on the outward all looks well, and people think there's a godliness about you, and yet you know that your heart is not right in the sight of God. That's just a picture of Cain. There are hypocrites in the church of Jesus Christ. God knows who they are. He can see what they're really like. We would do well to take heed to the words of Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, and the words of verse 6. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6 says, He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Cain was a hypocrite. He displayed all that was well, but he talked with his brother and he took him into the field in order to rise up against him and kill him. Cain was to shed innocent blood of Abel, and he was somehow to conceal what he'd done. But God sees all things. He was to confront the guilty one about it. His blood was crying to him for vengeance to the skies. Not only was Cain a hypocrite, but you'll notice there was anger there, anger in his heart against his brother, which in turn led to murder. But when God asked him, Where is thy brother? There were lies there as well. For in the words of verse 9, he answered the Lord, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? That was a lie from the pit of hell. And well, we could say that he was of the father of the devil, for he's a liar from the beginning. There was deception, there was hypocrisy, there was murder and lies, and so on could we go on. And these were his deeds. These are the sins of Cain, and often you have heard it said, the devil will not allow you to stop with one sin, but one leads on to another, and another, and another. This preacher doesn't know what or how many of these sins people have committed. But I know this, the Bible instructs us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that as a sinner you will never be where the Lord is in all eternity, for there is no sin permitted into heaven. Nothing that defileth shall ever enter in. I trust that you realize where your sin is taking you to. The devil will take you further than you want to go. Young man or woman, older man, older woman, he will keep you longer in sin than you want to stay. Thank God tonight there is one who has overcome the devil. There is one who was to defeat him at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer for the sin problem. It was John the Baptist who, pointing out to the people one day, said, Behold the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world. It was the Savior upon the tree who was to bear the sins of his people. He took upon himself your sin and mine. And remember that he was the sinless, he was the spotless Lamb of God. In him was no sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. He could not sin. Yet he willingly became that mass of sin. in that the Father could not look upon His Son in the darkness veiled Calvary for those hours, in that He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might be cleansed and we might be saved as He purchased a full redemption. He paid the punishment that our sins deserve, so that His people might be saved, they might be set free and rendered just in the sight of God. But men and women, to stand just before God as forgiven and justified, then you must accept God's free gift of salvation. That free gift is offered to you in the gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ only. You must accept what the Lord has done for you, a sinner, at the cross, and you must take Him as your Savior. I wonder, will that be the response of one under the sound of my voice tonight? No matter what your deeds have been, thank God the blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you, the vilest sinner, and make you clean. And then you'll notice finally the distinction. The verse in 1 John speaks of the reason why Cain was to rise up and slay his brother. You might ask the question, why would he do such a thing? Why would he kill his own flesh and blood? We have it in the verse, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Therein lies the great distinction. That's what John is bringing out here in the opening verses. Contrast between the righteous and the wicked. Genesis 4 instructs us that he was to bring an offering to God, the work of his hands. He brought to the Lord the fruit of the ground. That ground that had been cursed due to sin. Don't forget to tell the Russellites that when they stand on your door, the earth is cursed. Ground is cursed. He was to bring such an offering without faith and sincerity, from a heart which had no regard for the Messiah, a heart that had no regard for a sacrifice, and which did not seek to bring any glory to God. No doubt Cain would have seen it from his father, of how the slain lambs would have been taken, and their blood would have been offered as a payment for sin in their stead. But Cain sought to give the works of his hands. He brought forth his self-righteous offering. He sought to offer God a sacrifice which was bloodless. A bloodless gospel. There was no cost involved. There was no shedding of blood where the fruit of the ground was concerned. It was his brother who was to offer to God the best of his flock. And Abel would have taken that little lamb and slew it, and its blood would have been poured forth, and it was a sacrifice which was well pleasing in the sight of God. Why? Because those sacrifices, that one and every other of the Old Testament, they all pointed forth in type to the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, to God's Lamb who would be slain upon Golgotha's brow, and His life's blood would be shed so as to atone for sin. There's only one way of approach unto a holy, a sin-hating God, and that is through the shed blood. Cain's offering was one which was unacceptable to God. He had no respect for it. It was not satisfactory in God's sight, either in the manner in which he was offered or what he offered. Like our text states, his works were evil. Yet as I think upon Cain's offering, a man who knew better, but who sought to find acceptance with God by a bloodless way, I wonder what the sinner is seeking to offer to God tonight. How is the sinner seeking to approach unto God and find acceptance with God tonight? There are many who are like Cain. And this is why the Holy Ghost has included him three times in the New Testament to warn the sinner not to follow his way. Not to love like this brother was to love his other brother. For he hated him. And there are those tonight who might be like Cain, and they might seek to bring the works of their hands. It might be the respectable life that they live. It might be the religious exercises of going to church and giving to the poor. And yet the scriptures state all our righteousness are as filthy rags in God's sight. Self-righteous works of our hands will not suffice. Mind you, there are many self-righteous people who think it is well between them and God. Whatever else you may wish to offer to God as payment for your sin, listen, it will be unacceptable. Nothing in mine hands I cling. I bring simply to the cross. I cling. That's the answer. There's only one way home. Only one way in which you can be declared as righteous in God's sight. That is through the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to you. And as you look at the words of verse 13, you'll realize men and women, the world hates the way of the cross. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. The world hates this blood theology. People would rather sit under a bloodless gospel tonight and to hear the blood of Jesus Christ preached. And we are not to be surprised at that, for remember what the Lord himself was to say in John 15 in the words of verse 17. He said, "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Hated by the world. But the old-fashioned way through the blood of the Savior's cross is the only way. It's the only way the sinner can obtain forgiveness of sins and gain entrance into heaven one day. God help the sinner tonight to know acceptance with the Lord through the gospel. Then you will know, as God's people tonight know by experience, you will know what it is to be loved by God. Love with an everlasting love. A love which meant the Savior going to the cross and finishing the work that the Father gave him to do. Having experienced the love of God to your own soul, you then can go out and you can love your brother as Christ means you to. You can't love a fellow brother unless first of all you're saved. Here is something that is a mark or a fruit of the Spirit. And you'll know what it is to be loved, and you'll know how to love your fellow brother in Christ. And you'll also know what it is to be hated by the world. For while others may depend on good works, or opinions if they may, you'll say tonight, "Hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood." May God bless His word to each and every heart this evening. For his own name's sake.